This man changed the world.
Allahu Akbar, Khomeini Rahbar. Allahu Akbar, Khomeini Rahbar.
Our bosses couldn't cope with the idea of an 80-year-old Ayatollah, which they didn't even know what an Ayatollah was, who lived on garlic and onions and yogurt, directing a revolution that was about to topple America's most important ally.
Shuma dar in qarn mojiza kardid, millat-e Iran millat-e mojiza asay qarn ast.
Allahu Akbar, Khomeini Rahbar. Allahu Akbar, Khomeini Rahbar.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Exalted, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Salam, hello, and welcome to our audience, and particularly a warm welcome to our listeners of our program, The Man Who Changed the World, and as I say, changed all our tomorrows. The program is dedicated and devoted to the life of Imam Khomeini. May God bless his great soul. We're discussing some very interesting points with my guest, Dr. Hassani, on, you know, why aren't there more Imam Khomeini's. Of course, Islam came to perfect humanity. And there's one very interesting aspect which really is a phenomenon not understood from a materialistic point of view. And I myself, personally, am witness to this. I didn't know anything about this great man. I never understood anything about this great man. I didn't know one iota of where this man was born.
I hate to say you to this. I have to admit it. We still don't know about so many
things. Thank you for that, Doctor. I don't wish to
and
make...
I don't just say that to be humble. Or
no, no. We are just saying, we genuinely mean that. Because, yes, as I say, even to this day, as you go, why are we having these programs? Because we want to go into depth about a man that perhaps we still know very little or nothing about. But the thing that I wanted to point out was that I was 16 at the time, and the first impact that this gentleman made on me... As a teenager, was that I was reminded of prophets in the Bible. Mm-hmm. Because I didn't come really from an Islamic background. I came from a more or less a Christian background. And I was impressed by the fact that this is the first time in the 20th century, or in a long time, for many generations, that's the first time I've seen a personality that really, really reminded me both of Allah and of his prophets. But the most important thing I felt was love. I felt I had to know this man. I felt I had to leave my home country 4,500 miles away. I may be exaggerating the distance. I don't know. It may be 5,000 miles. It depends on your flight and how you get to Tehran. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, I had to come here. I had to come to the very land, the very country in which this man was born, to find out what was this thing that he placed into my soul, into my heart, that made me love him. Can you explain something about that for me, Dr. Hassani?
Yes, Husni? Honesty.
Honesty.
His honesty.
Yeah. Honesty with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Let's not get sophisticated,
yeah,
complicated.
Sure.
Let's not get entangled with words.
Sure.
He was honest. Ask me with whom?
With whom, yeah.
With himself first.
Exactly.
He knew himself.
And if you know yourself, you know your creator.
And if you know yourself, you know your creator.
Creator.
There's a hadith.
Yes, that's right.
Man arafa nafsa.
Please quote it.
Faqad arafa rabba. But I have to make a point about this.
Please.
Very important and significant tradition. Mm-hmm. Because the thing is that unfortunately, I say this with the bottom of my heart, as a Muslims, we have all the values,
quite
the sources, the true sources of knowing and enjoying the beautiful life that God gave us. But we don't use it to the level. All the traditions, all the, you know, the Quranic verses, we only get a piece of it. Maybe the beginning, we forget about the end, or vice versa. Mm. And we don't think about that.
Well,
brother, the only difference between us, just like I mentioned in the other program,
sure,
and different creation, different creatures, is the power of thinking in a true sense. This is why Quran, talking about fake, talking about aql, talking about tadabbur, which is different level of thinking.
Thinking.
In order to think, you have to become quiet first.
Yes.
You have to become silent. We have a tradition to
this. That's right.
How can you learn? How can you listen to something if you always talk?
Exactly.
you have to find an isolate place with yourself, which is within yourself, actually. We're not talking about only material here.
No.
We're not talking about the physical aspect of being alone. You can be in a gathered, but being alone. Thinking about your own stuff. And you can be alone, but working with the universe, working with the creation.
Could I just throw something at you, just right there and then, that the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, mentions that if you are in silence, as the silence that you refer to, which is a silence in which to acquire wisdom, do it for 40 days, and it will pour out of you. In other words, we're not alone.
No, we're not.
You're alone with your Creator.
Exactly.
Prophet Jesus, peace be upon him, I wanted to quote this from the Bible.
And if you are alone with your Creator, you are everywhere.
Yeah. I mean, this is the thing about the prophets, that you... I used to read about them in the Bible, that Prophet Jesus, peace be upon him, used to go away for 40 days and 40 nights, as it's quoted in the Bible, alone in the desert. For what? I mean, that's something that, you know, the Christians don't come back with.
As they say, something to think about.
Something to think about. Exactly. And he went to do his thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And that was where he poured out as the master, the teacher. When he came back to Jerusalem after those 40 days, that was the wisdom that was being quoted in the book.
He was a different person.
He was a totally different person.
He got the vision.
He got the vision.
When you get, brother, when you get the vision, you get the mission. Imam is somebody with special, unique, divine mission. Back to the tradition. Man arafa nafsa.
Yes.
Those who get to know themselves, their true sense, which is soul.
So,
فَقَدْ عَرَفَ رَبَّ. Most surely, they get to know their Lord, their sustainer, who happens to be a creator.
Exactly.
The point about this very significant tradition is this. This tradition is not talking about something about impossible. Because when you're talking about God, you say, oh, you cannot get to know him. Because he is infinite. How can a finite phenomena, thing, material, whatever.
Well, this is what philosophers come up with, isn't it?
Yeah, we're not trying to get philosophical
about it. Yeah.
Not.
No.
This is not the point of this program.
No.
I'm trying to explain it as simple as possible. This is another, if you want to mention it down,
we'll do that.
Imam Khomeini was simple in a true sense. Yeah. The same way that Quran is simple. Quran talks to an ordinary person because Quran is, by the way, is the book of guidance.
Yes.
Wants to take you from A to B without... any damage.
Any damage. Without any... Yeah.
And at the same time, talking to ordinary person, but yet talking to the philosopher, to the historian, to whoever can understand a different level.
Exactly.
A deeper one.
Yes.
The point about this tradition, you're not talking about something impossible. Because if you get to know yourself, you get to know your sustainer.
Sustainer.
So the point about it is this. How are you going to... get to know yourself. Think about it. I make it simple for you. I'm a weak person. If I know my weakness, the opposite of it, which is not weakness, which is power, which is total might, okay? God Almighty, we claim. You get to know the power of Allah. If you get to know the power of Allah, you are not going to be scared. As simple as that, I put it. If you're not scared of something, so what? You take steps to do things. You're not scared. You can take risk. You can be brave enough to take action. Nobody, you know, if they threaten you with sanction or they say, as they say, this is a joke. Everything, all the options on the table.
All
this is another program.
Yeah,
you know, we talk about
all options on the table.
On
the
Islamic
awakening
and
ethical
freedom.
They don't have anything on the table.
Not, I mean, if you have something concrete, if you have something solid.
Yeah.
You know, you don't constantly threaten somebody with it. You just do it.
You just do it.
You just come out and do it.
Exactly. I mean, that's...
Well, they do. The thing is that they forget that our option is on the table at the same time.
That's right.
And our option is something way, way different than theirs, which is, we're talking about God here. Somebody you can rely on, somebody you can trust, and somebody who can do anything possible. So... if you get to know yourself with weakness, you get to know him with great power. If you get to know yourself with lack of knowledge, you have to open a parenthesis, you know, to remember, then close the parenthesis.
Yes.
If you get to know yourself that you don't have the knowledge of everything, then you know your sustainer knows everything.
Everything.
And now Alim, He's the most knowledge one. Brother, all these words, this is not words. This is a reality.
That's right. I mean,
when you say God is Sami, it doesn't mean something that, you know, you think about material. God is not material.
No.
It means that he can hear everything.
Yeah.
He created everything.
To get back to the, you know,
to get to the point.
That about Imam's personality. And
Imam, I started with saying he was honest.
Right. I want to get to that point. That honesty that created that love in my heart.
And he was
heart.
Honest about himself. Let's not forget that.
Yeah. I mean, that honesty that, as you quite rightly say, about himself, again triggered or made us rejuvenated about something we had forgotten.
It started our engine, our motor.
Exactly. And that motor was not that it was the love of Imam, but it was to...
Very good point. You love Imam because of something else.
Yeah, exactly. Because it had brought
again,
you back to your creator.
The credit goes to somebody else.
Because you're reminded...
Let's not forget.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that we don't appreciate things.
No.
It doesn't mean like that.
No.
Because we have a tradition again. Man lam yashkur al makhluq, lam yashkur al khaliq. Those who don't appreciate the creation of God, most surely they don't appreciate the creator. This is an obvious thing.
Yeah.
We're not going to challenge
that. As you say, that simplicity, that honesty, really
simplicity, I have to emphasize, I have to underline.
Yeah.
In a true sense.
Yes.
Because when you say something simple, remember when Imam was coming back from Paris after 15 years in
exile?
Right.
Yes.
He's in the plane, sitting, you know.
Yeah.
Relaxing.
Yeah.
Just like, you know, we look through the window of the plane. This journalist,
John Simpson,
whoever,
ask
him, what is your feeling? He says nothing.
Peach.
You know how many wrong interpretation they took out of this?
Oh, yes.
Let me explain that. When he said nothing, it means that I don't submit myself to some particular thing that if it changes, I would become ballistic about it. Think about what I just said.
Yeah, yeah.
Anything happens, hey, what is your feeling after 15 years or whatever? Returning to your homeland. Nothing. Because I think about God. God is all the feeling.
Exactly.
God is all the mean. God is all the goal. You see, you get my point?
Well, that's exactly what we want to get to. That this beautiful personality was reminding us, because he, for the 20th century, became not the Imam of the Islamic Republic of Iran, but he became the representative for us.
By the way, he was Iranian. Only Iranian should love him.
Exactly. That's what I'm getting to.
He was Muslim. Only Muslim should love him.
But let me finish my point.
But that's not the case.
But that's not the case.
Please, I'm listening.
Because the letter that went to John Paul II, the Pope of the second biggest...
That's a different story.
But we'll get to that. But the Pope, the leader of the second most dominant religious grouping, if you like, in the world, Catholicism, he writes a letter to them, and even the Pope has to be reminded that he's supposed to be representing God on earth.
That that he should have a divine mission.
Have a divine mission.
Exactly.
And because the love that Imam Khomeini brought for so many people throughout the world,
true love,
was the love of the reminder of the Creator.
Creator. This is the whole point.
And that's what we're
getting
to.
And we can go on forever.
Yeah, exactly. Because that's the perfection we are looking for.
Exactly. Where are you coming from? Where you are in? What the situation? What is the situation? And where are you going to?
So, Dr. Hasni, give us the manual now from the Imam's personality.
This is a good word, manual.
Yeah, the manual from the Imam's personality.
I like that.
Give us it in terms of that perfection. Because, of course, he's written books on this subject.
The reason I'm saying that, brother, because, you know, I'm listening to the words you're using. This one was a good one.
Yeah.
Brother, because I see Quran as a manual for humankind.
Yeah.
You know, just like, you know, I can give you another example. A factory which makes whatever.
Yeah.
Appliances.
Sure.
You know, electronics, whatever. Let's say Sony and Sanyo, okay? They make these TVs and whatever.
Yeah.
For every device, they print a particular manual.
Yeah.
And no two factories makes a manual for a different one. Okay?
That's right.
I mean, Quran is a manual.
Yeah, Sony won't won't build for
and
JVC.
And vice versa.
JVC or Sanyo.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Imam Khomeini's manual is learning Quran, get to know God, and follow the path.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammadin.
But we want to get back to this love aspect of Imam Khomeini. Who puts that love there?
God.
Why?
Why? Because there is a holy tradition. There is a hadith of Qudsi.
Right.
Holy
tradition. There's nothing complicated about this.
No, I make it simple for you.
Right.
I read it. I translate it. I'm trying to explain it. Okay? Then we understand. God says to his holy prophet in a holy tradition. It says, Kunto kanzan makhfiyan. God talking about himself.
Right.
I was a hidden treasure.
Treasure, yes. From Hadith Qudsi, yes.
Fa'ahbabto. I love to. I like to. To be
known.
To be recognized. As simple as that. Love comes from Allah.
But it's important because in the
English... if it wasn't for love, if it wasn't for likeness, okay, there's no reason to live. Because we're not solid.
Sure.
We're not rock. We have to have certain feelings.
I think for our listeners, we have to mention the point here, though, that the Arabic is much more sophisticated than just saying in English.
And it takes time to explain.
Yeah, just to say that he wanted to be known, that's not because of a need.
He loved to. He liked to.
Yeah, it's because of the fact that... You know, he has the power to bring things into existence.
And
that existence is the perfection of that creator.
Exactly.
So that is the point we want to make here. That this
is a favor he gave us.
This is a favor.
This is a favor.
That's it. Thank you for that. And I wanted to get back to that point that you mentioned before about knowing Quran. Because Imam Khomeini says in that Hukumat Islami, he says, Quran was being recited by beautiful singers and parrot fashion. 1400 years? What's going on? Why parrot fashion? Why does the Imam make such a claim in his book? Because at the end of the day, not knowing this book has been the problem. That has been the source of our troubles for the last 1400 years. And he brought back the true reading of the Quran. Even he's pointed out the fact that those schools of thought that claim to know something about the Quran were erroneous in what they were doing.
And
because of the fact that they didn't have the key. The key that was needed to take us towards that perfection.
The main key.
The main key.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I'm talking about.
When you talk about Quran, again, we're not talking about something, you know, we're not fantasizing.
Yeah, we're not fantasizing.
We have it. It's available.
Yeah.
You know, this is the example I give you sometimes.
Yeah.
We don't appreciate Quran. You know why?
No.
Because they send us to us free. It was sent to us free.
Yes.
We don't appreciate it. Anything free, just like, you know, we pollute the air.
Yes.
We don't pay for it.
We don't pay for it.
Okay?
But if we had to pay for it...
Having said that,
having
said that, I give you another example.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if this particular copy of Quran was the very last Quran on earth and it was hidden in somewhere that you don't know?
Yeah.
How much you would pay to get back it, to get back to it?
Or, no...
Let's
go into that. Let's go into that analogy. That's a very beautiful point you're picking up there. Again, you know, as you say, we don't give the value that needs to be, that deserves to be given. I mean, this has been a problem throughout our Muslim history. And I call it a black Muslim history. I'm sorry I use that word. But
At the same time.
Yeah, I have no option but to use this word. And the reason being...
And you're not trying to be pessimistic
about
it. No,
I'm not pessimistic.
I'm
simply using that word in the sense that we had valuable personalities.
Because here we're trying to realize the difficulties and throw a solution.
Yeah, these treasures, like Imam Ali, that the Holy Prophet refers to as the gate of knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And we threw it away.
And who is the key? Imam.
Imam. We threw it away in Karbala. They were riding horses over the holy personality of Imam Hussein. That was difficult. That's a difficult thing for me to say. But the thing is that is the thing, as you quite rightly say, that is the price of this book that we don't appreciate. And this man says that whatever I have brought it to you from Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And I'd like to hopefully in the next
from the movement of Ashura.
Ashura.
Yeah, this is one of
an important build up in the personality of the Imam. I'd like to go into that tradition, that why this plays such an important part in the personality of the Imam, hopefully in the next session. But definitely this is a subject we need to speak about. But this simplicity, please tell us, Dr. Hasni, about how simple, because you lived in those times, how simple was Imam? Because I remember you mentioned to me in a conversation that, you know, he was speaking to the people, the bakers. He was talking about power politics to the bakers.
When he said the famous statement that American administration, that is, again, cannot do a damn thing. Mm. He said it in a gathering with the Qomis bakers at the time.
That's the people of the city of Qom.
This is how respectful he was toward every single person. He didn't see him as something different. He said, I respect you because God created you. God put you on earth. And God put some certain connection between us. All the relationship that we should or we're supposed to have with each other.
Right. And ask me
how he got it from.
Yeah, where he got it from.
From Quran.
Yes.
Again. Quran talks, you know, he said God is powerful. Mm. We understand it very easy. And somebody that who wants to get into different level of the might, he can study it.
I want to throw something in here straight away.
Do you know how you become simple? Mm. When you have the true knowledge, Brother Ajaz. Think about what I said.
Yeah, exactly. You're
if you don't know a lot of stuff, you're trying to pretend. Mm. You get so complicated. Fallacies comes from here. If you're trying
But you're talking about humbleness.
That's another subject. If you are simple, you are humble, and vice versa.
Exactly.
This is not two different aspects, brother. Let me tell you another expression.
Please.
It says two persons are afraid of an empty gun. The one who is in front of the gun. He doesn't know. It's empty gun. He thinks
he's going to be killed.
He's going to be shot at. He's going to be killed.
Mm.
And the one who even has his own finger on the trigger, he knows there is no bullet in it. If the guy in front of him, okay, jumps on him, what is he going to do? Nothing. He has no bullets. So two persons are afraid of one empty gun. This is when you don't have the true knowledge.
Exactly.
Then you fear.
Hmm.
Okay?
Quite.
You have no power.
Very, very eloquent.
That's why you become simple. Yeah. That's why you become humble. When you have a true knowledge. And true knowledge comes from
the true source.
Remember, I didn't say true teacher because we don't call God teacher.
No. The true source.
That's a different story.
Yeah. The truth.
Okay?
The truth. That's what
we're
talking
about. A true source is the most knowledge one, the most powerful one, the most wise one. I even shouldn't say the most, because when I use the word the most, it sounds like I'm comparing something with, you know, something else.
Sure.
But there is no way to compare. The wise, the might, the knowledge one.
Yes.
So, the real source.
These are the sifat you're talking about. God.
Yeah,
the attributes, the names.
The names.
Yes.
Which actually is action, which is power. When you're talking about God, you're not talking about the identity, the true sense of God. You can't do that.
No.
There's a tradition.
Mm. Please quote it.
There's a tradition that says, don't think about God, about the sense, the true sense of God. But if you want to get to know God, think about the benefits, or we call it ni'mah, the things that He gave us, which they become, they become sign of God, sign of His knowledge, His being, His power, and His mercy. Imam was simple because of this. Because in Quran, if you get to know Quran, you become simple. You don't need to get complicated. You don't need to get sophisticated.
Dr. Hasni, thank you for that. For what you've said so far, in terms of the discussion of the personality of the Imam, the simplicity, the honesty, these beautiful values that take us towards Allah. Because really, what we are talking about, at the end of the day,
brother, the point is this: if we get to know Imam Khomeini, peace be upon him, the way we're supposed to,
yes,
okay,
yes,
we become a good follower.
Yeah.
We cannot go astray,
no matter what. No, no,
we always steadfast on the right track, doing the right thing, of course, from A to B without any damage.
Well, the thing is that you come back to that legacy of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, who was not able to put that down in words, but the Imam certainly did, and we hopefully will discuss that at a later stage as well. And that is that he talked about two things. He talked about the two legacies that the Holy Prophet left. That was the Quran and his family, the Itrati. And that was a principle. Let's continue this discussion into the next program, and we're going to look at,
God willing, we are going to,
yeah,
if we get the chance, we,
yeah,
are going to,
we'll look at other aspects of this simplicity,
exactly,
honesty,
mm-hmm,
and the purity of intention.
Mm-hmm.
I want to go into this aspect.
Purity, that's a,
yeah,
good subject,
yeah,
also.
Yeah.
God,
so let's,
we'll
let,
do
let's do that into the next program. Thank you, listeners, for being on the for listening to us today. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you for giving me a chance to do so.
No, that's all right, Doctor. You're welcome, Dr. Hasni. And may the peace and blessings and mercy of Allah be upon you all. Thank you and goodbye.
Thank you, brother.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala محمد وآل محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل درجه.
Cultural news, social news, scientific news, artistic news. With the light.
A few hooks and a shelf have transformed a wall in the Swedish capital, Stockholm, into an outdoor charity. It's called the Wall of Kindness, which is painted with the slogan, "Grab a jacket if you need one, leave a jacket if you can spare one." Here, people can donate their winter clothes or warm boots if they have some extra. The Wall of Kindness is meant to help those in need, including the homeless, to stay warm. The wall was set up by a real estate company, and the organizer says people have responded positively with the high turnover. The move was inspired by a trend that has been seen in Iran over the years. Several other countries across the world, such as India, have also organized similar outdoor charities.
Scientists in Brazil have come up with a creative way to shore up the population of a majestic species of monkeys in danger of extinction. Brazilian conservationists have constructed a bridge to reconnect the two sides of Rio de Janeiro's Atlantic forest. The road had effectively isolated a group of lion tamarins, but now it offers hope for the endangered monkey. There are only 2,500 golden tamarins left in the wild, all of them in Brazil. It is estimated that these animals have lost more than 95% of their habitat.
Childhood joy and lightness meet with art at the first of its kind museum in Rome, Italy. Here, all kinds of art decorations are made of balloons. The exhibit, dubbed Let's Fly, displays a broad range of interactive artworks. In one installation, visitors are invited to find their inner child by diving into a pool of hundreds of small balloons. In another section, giant inflatable sculptures double as a playground for kids. Some installations move only by riding a bicycle. The museum is a place where artists and spectators coexist for a journey into a world of inflatable art capable of freeing the imagination of all ages.
It's the combination of art with childhood and adolescence that makes this place so magical. So they are art installations, but also games. The blurred line between the two is what makes the museum so unique.
The balloon exhibit incorporates innovative works created by 14 different artists from across Europe. The artifacts were created using hundreds of thousands of biodegradable balloons. The organizers say they want to increase environmental awareness by being eco-friendly, as all the artworks will be reused or recycled. The exhibits will run until March the 5th.
As people around the globe are preparing for the New Year holidays, the Vatican lights up a Christmas tree and nativity scene set up on St. Peter's Square. People gathered around the square waiting for long hours to see the illumination. Even heavy rain did not stop them. That's while the official lighting ceremony was held inside of Hall 6 Hall, where Pope Francis presides his weekly audiences. The nativity scene, made of more than 30 pieces, is created by Peruvian artists. The majestic Christmas tree is about 28 meters and comes from Andalo, northern Italy. The locals see this stunning tree as a symbol of hope and peace. The tree will be switched on every night until January the 6th. Chinese students receive a science lesson on their country's space station, and they are lucky enough to receive it firsthand from the astronauts living in the first and core module of the station. The class was held via a live broadcast shown on the state television. The three astronauts gave a lecture that focused on physics. They explained how the weightlessness environment affects the movement of objects. The astronauts also gave a tour of the station they arrived at in October for a six-month stay. It seems that their teachings were quite motivating. The students peppered their instructors with questions, including those about living conditions in space. China launched its space station in April and plans to complete it by the end of the next year. Christmas is just around the corner, and children are waiting for their presents. In Guatemala, Santa Claus has a new mode of transport to give gifts to children with cancer.
Today, as in the past year, we are celebrating Christmas with the cancer patients of the shelter. Santa Claus came in a helicopter to give presents to the children. It is very emotional for the children. The majority of them have never been so close to a helicopter, let alone Santa Claus.
That was an exciting experience for the children. The charity event was organized by an institute that supports cancer patients for remote areas in Guatemala. The institute says the event aimed to help the children go through their therapies with more ease. The Amazon River turtles are in danger of extinction, but environmentalists have come up with an initiative to save their lives. And that's by protecting their eggs. Climate change and human activities against their ecosystem have been putting these creatures at risk. Now, what the biologists and local volunteers do is that they recover the turtle nests from riverbanks during the rainy season to protect them from drowning. Then they take care of the baby turtles until they develop a hard shell and are ready to start their life journey. Batches of tiny turtles release into a river in the Amazon border between Bolivia and Brazil. They are now grown enough to protect themselves against different threats. Environmentalists have been doing this for more than 20 years, saving millions of baby turtles. This time they released 1 million of the little turtles.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
During the Christmas season, people around the world love to add a dose of joy in the form of Santas. Children especially feel ecstatic to see Santas distributing presents and snacks. But you will be amazed to see how one Santa this time dives into water to give well-behaved sharks and fishes their goodies. In Malta's National Aquarium, Scuba Claus, helped by an elf, plunges into a huge fish tank with his sack of treats to feed sharks and fishes. Santa's ho-ho-ho come out in bubble through his snorkel over his white beard. The aquarium, located in the northern part of the island, hosts more than 175 different species of various marine animals.
Butterflies are probably the most popular among all insect species on Earth due to their beauty and color. Millions of monarch butterflies have flocked to a Mexican forest, creating a magical sight, drawing tourists, scientists, and locals there. The monarch butterflies flee the cold winters of Canada and northern United States and travel thousands of kilometers to hibernate and reproduce in the temperate woods of central Mexico. Hundreds of trees crowded with butterflies can be seen along Mexico's 13,000-hectare monarch reserve after their long journey. However, experts warn of a drop in the number of the species. Climate change is reported to have had an impact on their butterflies' migration pattern, as well as a reduction in their milkweed breeding habitat in the United States.
With the Christmas season in full swing, hundreds have gathered on Spain's Gran Canaria island to watch stunning sand sculptures representing the birth of Christ. Eight sand artists from around the world have created these spectacular figures. It took them a week to complete the scenes. A huge sand wall is built around the sculptures to protect them. The island has been holding the event every year since 2006. The warm temperatures on the Spanish beach have helped attract a lot of visitors over Christmas. According to the organizers, at least 200,000 people have visited the exhibition in the past 15 years. A joyful day at an Australian zoo as a baby pygmy hippo is born. That's good news for the zoo staff because pygmy hippos are endangered species. Cambiri, the mother hippo, gave birth to the calf last month. It's her second calf and the first one was born in a Sydney zoo 4 years ago. The newborn is yet to be named. It sticks to the mum and follows her wherever she goes. The calf is spending most of its time out of the sight of the public, as for now it's learning to walk and swim. And the mum keeps a close eye on the calf at all times.
The first few days, she did not leave the calf's side. Was very sedate, very quiet, and just looking after its every need. And only in the last sort of couple of days has she started to get a little bit more sleep in.
They are regarded as endangered animals because of illegal hunting and loss of habitat. Currently, less than 3,000 pygmy hippos are living in the wild.
Is it interesting to experience what Harry Potter went through at Hogwarts? Well, it could be, at least from students at a university in Pakistan kicking off a festival celebrating the fictional wizard. The students at Government College University made their 150-year-old campus look like the magical school created by British author J.K. Rowling. They put on costumes and set up decorations reminiscent of Hogwarts. The university's vice chancellor says the campus, with its vast halls and soaring archways, has always reminded the students of the fictional school.
Most of these youngsters, they grew up at the time when J.K. Rowling's work was being presented in the novels and then later on in the film. So that magical charm, that fantasy, they really enjoyed. They grew up reading that fantasy. And then when they come to Government College University and see these architecture, it reminds me of that Hogwarts that is being filmed in Harry Potter films.
The university officials spoke proudly of what his students have done. They were themselves happy too, calling their experience fun. Others said it was unbelievable to be in Hogwarts. The festival also screened Pakistan's first fan-made Harry Potter film, made and acted by the students. The Swedish city of Stockholm has launched its 31st annual Christmas competition of baking gingerbread.
There is a limited in space, so it's 40 centimeters by 40 centimeters, and everything you built, all the material need to be eatable. So you can build with different things, gingerbread of course, but also candies and other things, but you need to be able to eat it. So that's one of the rules as well.
Each year, the Gingerbread House competition, hosted by ArcDes Museum of Architecture and Design, has a theme for the designs. This year's theme is Together, attracting various interpretations of the topic. So far, the entries have included the Titanic, the famous coffee shop from the American TV show Friends, an igloo, and the Berlin Wall, all entirely edible. The event, which has been running for 31 years, is designed for all kinds of creators, such as children, young people, adults, amateurs, and professionals. The Tasty exhibition runs until January the 5th. A Palestinian teacher has developed an assistant for himself nicknamed Mr. Robot, bringing joy to the children of a school in Gaza. Mr. Robot teaches the children of Al-Basma School about electric circuits and helps them memorize their lessons. Mr. Robot moves freely in the classroom, speaking Arabic to students and communicating with them as a friend. The teacher creating it says the aim was to stimulate creativity and innovation in his classroom.
Mr. Robot, as his name suggests, is the teacher's assistant and not his replacement. He assists in the education process by asking questions and giving answers, greeting students and interacting with them in all aspects of a class.
The teacher says at first students reacted to it in a strange way, but later on they said it was like a dream come true for them. Local engineers say the robot is the first of its kind in the Gaza Strip, where electrical tools and components are scarce.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon the Holy Prophet of Islam, Muhammad, and his purified progeny. Dear brothers and sisters, dear believers, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, wherever you are, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, and welcome to yet another edition from series of Q&A in Islamic beliefs from IRIB English Radio. In this series of shows, we are trying to pose and answer some questions and doubts that comes towards to us on Islamic beliefs. The question that we are going to talk about today is about Salat or prayer. For that, we have invited a respected scholar from Qom Samiri Schools, Sheikh Murtada Karimi, to help us with the answers to the questions that we pose here. Before I pose the question, I'd like to welcome Sheikh Murtada to the show and say salam to him. Sheikh, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah, and thank you for having me.
It's a great pleasure for us, Sheikh, to have you here, and many thanks for accepting the invitation.
Oh.
The question of the day is that all of us know that prayer is known as one of the important pillars of religion. That is, even we have, if it is accepted, it is as if all the other actions and activities and a'mal of a person is accepted. And if it is rejected, all the other activities and a'mal and actions of a person are supposed to be rejected. So there are many, many hadith and, let's say, narrations, and even we have some witnesses from Quranic sources that shows the importance of this concept in Islam. And it is being said that if we pray, it gives us a sort of power to avoid committing any sin. But we see, we as ordinary people, we do pray 5 times a day, and we try our best to keep to the prayers that have been mandatory on us, but still sinful thoughts comes to us, Shaykhuna, and we see that even some of the believers commit some sins. What is the reason? How can we look at this verse of the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Inna salata tanha 'anil fahsha'i wal munkar." Verily, this prayer will be a deterrent from, it is going to be a deterrent to indecencies and evil. I'd be glad if you shed some light on that and tell us what is the reason and how can we look at this holy verse of Quran.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Yes, that's a very good question. The fact that if the prayer is going to restrain us from indecencies, then why people, us religious people who say the prayer, then from time to time we may commit sins. Before answering this question, there are 2 points mentioned in the question of this brother or sister, and I would like to refer to that. He or she said that sinful thoughts come to my mind. And now the first point is that thinking about sin is not a sin in and of itself, and that's a mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning that even if you intend to commit a sin, but for any reason you are not able to commit that sin, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not write a sin in your books of deed. On the other hand, if you intend to do a righteous action and then for any reason you are not able to do that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward you. So thinking about sins, although it may have some negative consequences, but thinking about sin is not considered a sin, religiously speaking, and you will not be punished for that.
Mm-hmm.
And the second point is that the very question of this brother or sister, the very concern of him or her that they have posed this question, it means that prayer has had its effect on them.
Mm-hmm.
Those people who do not say the prayer might not care about, prayer, about indecencies, but the very fact that, the person has come to this question that why from time to time I have sinful thoughts, at the same time I say the prayer, it means that to some extent prayer has had its good and spiritual effect.
Yeah.
Now, answering this question, there are a couple of points that are mentioned by different scholars, because this is a verse in the Quran, and alhamdulillah, different scholars commenting on this verse, they have answered this question, why do we say the prayer and at the same time we may commit sin from time to time.
Yep.
Now, I will try to answer and refer to different explanations mentioned by different scholars. According to one explanation, this prayer has some, conditions so that it could prevent from indecencies. So the first point is that you need to say all your 5 daily prayers at least, and then you are living in a righteous community, and all of them, they are practicing people as well, not only for prayer, but also for, I mean, other religious obligations. So in such a religious community where all the people, they pay utmost attention to prayer and other obligations, naturally the possibility of committing sins would be much less. Also because of the fact that, I mean, prayer is a means for communication with God, I mean, at least five times a day. And, the very fact that, every day for five times you are talking to your Lord, it will have a spiritual effect on you. So if a person is constant in saying the prayer, according to this first explanation, gradually speaking, you will have this power to be away from indecencies. Also, we know that, for example, the person who needs to say the prayer, they need to pay attention to their clothes, for example, not to be from, a usurped property, and also the place.
Yeah.
They should not be usurped place. So these conditions also prevent that person from committing certain sins. So this is the first explanation. The second explanation is that it's not only about the prayer of all people. No, it's the prayer of, the very righteous people who say the prayer with all the conditions, and we see that in their lifetime, prayer has this effect, prevents from indecencies. The next explanation is that they refer to a narration from Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, and they mean that the verse is referring to the fact that as long as you are saying the prayer, you are away from indecencies. So during the prayer, you are talking to your Lord, and naturally you are not able to commit sins and indecencies. And that is why the prayer, as mentioned in this verse, is preventing from indecencies, but it is referring to that very time. This has been mentioned in Ruh al-Ma'ani.
Yeah.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs on IRIB English Radio. You can send your questions to englishradio@irib.ir.
Another explanation is that those people who say the prayer and then they see that they are committing sin from time to time, they need to pay attention to this very fact that if they were not saying the prayer, they were committing sins more compared to the time that they are saying the prayer. So it's still Salat tanha anil fahsha'i wal munkar. But for these people, if they did not say the prayer, it was much more likely for them to commit all kinds of sins. But now, because of the fact that they are saying the prayer, they commit less sins. And I think this is a reality. This is a very, good explanation. In the society, naturally and normally, we see that those people, though we are talking about Muslims, of course, when they are careless about prayer, then they are careless about fasting, Hajj, Khums, Zakat. And gradually speaking, they do not, care if they commit other types of sins as well. But when it comes to the people who at least they say the prayer, they fast, and they do other obligations, they are not ready to commit at least some great and major sins. So this is a reality. The people who are careful about the prayer, they commit less sins. And this is the result of the prayer, for sure. Right.
So you have actually presented some answers and some, let's say, interpretations for the hadith, or even for the given verse that we are talking about. One of which is that the prerequisites of prayer should be also considered and looked at. So we need to look at this, let's say, question again in our upcoming session. I'd like you to give us a complete answer. But the point that you said at the end of the show was also good to ponder, where you said that if we didn't pray, so what was the, let's say, what was the scene like? What was the reaction like? And it was even worse. And this can be even sensed and actually understand. It can be understood by people that, yes, if we even did not perform that prayer that we are now criticizing it, the situation was even worse. Many thanks for your explanation, Sheikh Murtadha, for your answers to the question that was posed concerning the importance of the prayer or namaz or salat and its relation with the way that it avoids the believers to perform any sinful action. Dear brothers and sisters, inshallah, we shall continue discussion and talking about this important question in our upcoming session. Till then, I'll leave in Allah's protection. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
إن في الجنة نهرا لبن، إن في الجنة نهرا لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن، لعلي وحسين وحسن. إن في الجنة نهرا لبن، إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن، لعلي وحسين وحسن. كل من كان محبا لهم، كل من كان محبا لهم يدخل الجنة من غير حزن، يدخل الجنة من غير حزن. إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن، إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.